So therefore, if somebody got the rumor out that you had a slip and you didn't, it's not going to cause you to have a slip unless you get mad about it. Then you might have a slip. Then in our spiritual life. You know, it's amazing to me to learn or to find out or to discover or rediscover that 95% at least of all problems and sins in the spiritual life come not from temptation, but from resentment. Now let's see how that is. Of course, we should have known that long ago. You know why? Because it was centuries ago that we were told that this is the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and thy whole soul and thy whole mind and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if that's the greatest virtue, love, then its opposite, hatred, which begins with resentment, necessarily is the worst of the opposite of love. The worst vice, the one thing that causes us most trouble in our spiritual life. Now, let's take, for example, drinking. Was it because we saw a bottle one day and said, gee, I think that might be good? And then we smelt the bottle and said, gee, I think that might taste good. Then we took a little. That does taste good? No. We probably started drinking socially, either to excess or otherwise, and then something happened. Resentments came in, excessive drinking, alcoholism, and all that came in its follow through. The guy or the gal in AA who begins to drink again, 95% of them begin with resentment. Take, for example, your philanderer, you know, the guy who cheats on his wife, or the gal who cheats on her husband. Is that because some nice-looking gal came along and tempted him?
No.
He first resented the little woman. And then he was a pushover for any old hag. Resentments. Laziness. Laziness comes from resentment. Have you ever talked to one of these so-called professional bums? You know, the guy, the one who doesn't want to better his condition? And you'll find out that they resent life itself. They are resentful against living. Then jealousy. Jealousy begins with resentment. Omitting prayers. You know why people omit prayers so often? Because God don't hear their prayers. For other people, the birds sing. Now, I know that all of us in AA, since we have come to AA, have become very sincere in our prayers, haven't we? Or have we? You know, it's amazing how easily we can again become dishonest in our prayers. Now, let's take an example. Let's analyze, just for the sake of example, that prayer we use to close all of our AA meetings, the Lord's Prayer. How do we pray? Now, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Now, by that very statement, if we're honest, we're admitting that we're all equally children of God. No difference whether we're Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, black or white, drunk or sober, rich or poor, slipping or staying on the program, we're all equally children of God. And what happens? Afterwards, you hear somebody whispering, who's that new guy? Oh, he's one of those young Baptists. One of those lousy Catholics. It's on both sides of the fence. There's no use kidding ourselves. You know, it's amusing how this can become very dramatic under certain circumstances. They tell a story to show how this can happen of another fellow who was going to commit suicide. And he was going to jump off of the second floor of a building. And the good old Irish policeman down below was trying to talk him out of it. So he was saying, oh, please, sir, he said, for the sake of your poor old mother, don't do it. Ah, the guy said, my mother's dead. Well, then to think of your poor wife and don't do it. My wife's dead, too. Well, think of your poor children whom it will disgrace, and don't do it. My children's dead, too. I'm going to jump. Well, the poor policeman didn't know what to do. So finally, he bursted out with, oh, please, sir, for the sake of my blessed mother, don't do it. Ah, the guy said, I'm not a Catholic. I don't believe in that stuff. Well, then, the policeman said, jump, you damn Protestant, you jump. Our Father. Our. Not my. Our Father. Who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That's what we pray. And what do you hear? Somebody says, you know, last drunk I was on the cheap deal drunk. I said, what am I? Hallowed be thy name. We use God's name reverently. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what we pray. And then something happens, something goes against us, we get all burned up. Why? God's will was done. God's will's always done. Now, I made that statement at the Putnamville Penitentiary Group some years back. And right at this point, one of the inmates jumped up and he stopped me. He said, hey, Father, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay. He said, you mean to tell me it's God's will I'm in this joint? I says, well, I don't know. Let me ask you a question. I said, do you believe in God? He said, sure, I have all my life. I said, do you believe that he can do all things? He said, sure, I do. Well, then I said, you must believe that God could, if he wanted to, if he willed it, get you out of this joint. He said, yes, I guess he could. I said, well, he hasn't. In plain language, discontentment in life is kicking against the will of God, and yet we pray, thy will be done. I attended an anniversary banquet of AA some years back in the Midwestern city, and after the banquet, one of the members entertained the assembled group by singing a song. And he dedicated the song to AA as a typical AA song. And the name of the song was, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, Everything's Going My Way. I punched the guy next to me. I said, that's not AA. That's what put us in AA. Everything's going thy way. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. This day, 24 hours at a time. Our daily bread, what we need. And yet, aren't we all worried about the past, about the future? Whereas we should take life and cut it down to 24 hours at a time. Then we can handle it. Let the past into the hands of God's mercy. That's done. Let the future into the hands of God's providence. Each day, each 24 hours. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now we have taken an inventory. And we found a lot of stuff in that inventory. And then what happened? Somebody double-crosses. Speak to that guy? I won't speak to that so-and-so as long as I live. Isn't it a good thing God doesn't take us at our word? Forgive us as we forgive. That's what we pray. Lead us not into temptation. Now that means that we'll do our part, we'll do the footwork, then we ask God to avoid or prevent any unforeseen temptation to cause a fall. And what do we find? We had a fellow in one of our little groups in Indianapolis a long time ago. He came in one evening and said, you know, fellas, he said, I go in a tavern every day to prove to myself I don't have to take a drink of liquor. He did. Drink liquor. Another fellow was in our Indiana home in Indianapolis. That's our jitter joint up there. And he was crying on his shoulder and mine. He says, you know, Father, I don't understand why I slipped. He says, I didn't do nothing but pick up a woman and go to a tavern. Or as Bill said in one of his talks, the red-headed woman walked in, sobriety walked out. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All evil, not only evil thinking, but evil doing. All evil. And this also indicates the principle of autonomy insofar that God will eliminate evil, not us. We are not guardians of the morals. If there be evil, let it go. God will eliminate it in his time and in his way. Because only God has the responsibility to eliminate evil from this world. And then follows that little prayer, for thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory. And in AA, again, we do everything in our own way, each and every one using the program as he sees it. So there's no discussion. And then, amen. A little word from the Hebrew means so be it. As I have prayed, so be it done. Therefore, if my prayers are sincere, if they're honest, fine. If not, you're on your own again. Amen. So be it. People who are church members quit their church. Why? Because of something the pastor said. Who got hurt? The pastor? He don't even know they quit. You know, the amazing thing about this resentment business, the one who gets hurt is the one who is resentful. Nobody else, usually. So in this case, the one who quit church got hurt. Many people even quit God. Your atheist is a product of resentment. An atheist resents a power greater than himself. He's a hopeless egotist. And he calls himself an atheist because he resents God. Therefore, doesn't that bring back to our minds, with much more depth of wisdom and understanding, a saying of one of the philosophers of age old, of years ago, by the name of Plato, who wrote, "Whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad." So there you have it. Resentments, oh resentments, we deplore. If it weren't for resentments, we'd all be much more sober and much more happy and much more holy forevermore. And therefore, we can avoid this by practicing, first, an attitude of humility to cut down on the occasions of irritation, by practicing actions of humility to acquire the habit of humility, by refusing to feel any hurt or any irritation or any upset that might come along. You know, even in the so-called neuroses, the psychiatrist will tell us that all these funny little feelings, you know, that end up in terrific fears would have been dissipated had we ignored them in the beginning, had we refused to refeel them. And then in all of our living, in AA and out of AA, day in and day out, and hour in and hour out, and minute in and minute out, practice more and more actions of love, of doing for, of giving to, of helping others, carrying the message, making ourselves ready to give to whomsoever asks. And so I'm going to leave you now with one final thought, and that is this. Never forget that it takes a real man and a real woman to love, but any nincompoop can hate. God love you all.